A week solidarity brekkie team listener when beginner's luck was highlighted by the Reserve Profits Bank becoming the Reserve Losses Bank as a $44 billion paper loss on its fixed income holdings and a bond buying program to prop up the economy during the pandemic meant it won't be able to pay the government a dividend until at least the 2030s. And how's this highlight beginner's luck? Well, we know the caring business class party and the caring business class it represents and some of True Blue Aussie's filthiest rich of the filthy rich drool at the sight of trillions of industry super funds, workers' money in the hands of workers' organisations. Shame, the last place they should be, on which they outperform the traditional banks and financial institutions whom the aforementioned know should have all that lovely, lovely money. Knowing the outperforming industry funds are clearly simply enjoying the phenomena of beginner's luck. Year after year, year after beginner's luck year, and that thus avoids the most awful thought of all. If it isn't beginner's luck, then would the Reserve Losses Bank be better off, be more likely to return to the Reserve Profits Bank if, dare we say it, workers and not great financial entrepreneurs were on the board? Perish the thought. They remind us there was one workers' representative on the board back in the nuclear hawk world's greatest worst treasurer Paul days, but then they tell us it was ACTU Secretary Little Billy Kiltham, so that's not the same thing. Little Billy, who boasted 2 weeks ago how he negotiated to make workers worse off, how he opposes the better off overall test because it doesn't make workers worse off, so we're not sure he counts. Current big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital, as we know, has asked three capitalist economists to report on whether there are too many capitalist economists on the Reserve Losses Bank board. Doesn't that make sense? Then again, putting workers on the board would probably backfire, as they can't help themselves. They have to resort to class envy. As the caring business class party and caring employers continually point out, and they know there are no class differences to be envious of. Yet just this week, the finance sector union is threatening industrial action at the Nab Your Money Bank, rejecting a spectacularly generous 5% pay rise on the selfish argument that it does not keep up with inflation. Ignoring the Reserve Losses Bank supremo fill low pay for use patriotic argument that workers must accept wage cuts. And a 5% increase is not a wage cut. Well, not a real wage cut, or not much of one. And here's where the class envy bit comes in. The ungrateful union described the 5% as paltry compared to the Nab Your Money CEO Ross McSpewen on the workers' reasonable 130% pay increase to $5.8 million. Can't the union see the illogic of its argument? Ross is just one person. The wage slave, or sorry, workers are thousands, so their 5% in total would probably exceed Ross's 130% or near enough to it. It gets worse. There's these unthankful trainees at hamburger chain Grilled the Workers, which is generous enough to train young people, with the trainees receiving a smaller wage per hour than non-trainee workers, an extraordinarily generous $14.95 an hour before they emerge with their hamburger uni qualifications, a one-year apprenticeship, so to speak, with young workers complaining that after 2 or 3 years, they're still struggling to survive on the trainee wage and haven't received a certificate. And the ingratitude goes deeper. They're also complaining that Grilled the Workers happily accepted $16.6 million real figure in corporate welfare from the previous government to offer such generous conditions. Which, and we find this hard to believe, the usual suspects claim was taking advantage of low-paid workers. And okay, 2-3 years and still not qualified, but it's a complicated business. It takes years to learn how to toss a lump of salt and fat into a sugar-laden bun. It's an art. In the not-so-funny department, allowing for the broken promises by the US of NATO, which form a backdrop to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the special military operation, as Putin euphemistically describes, war, trained killing, nonetheless, we are dealing with a megalomaniac with his back to the wall and threatening nuclear retaliation. Raise this just to iterate the obvious. The only way to avoid a nuclear disaster is to ensure there are no nuclear weapons, that nobody has them. That removes all danger. We know that in the privatization of public assets that turn over a neat little profit, allowing the community to enjoy the benefits of the efficient hand of the private sector, and the low, low prices from which we all benefit that are a big selling point, governments take the poor private entrepreneurs to the proverbial cleaners, that the public purse makes massive gains at the expense of the private sector, like poor Trevor St. Baker the Earth and his partner Brian Fannery the Flames, described as coal investors. Obviously, people deeply concerned about the environment and the frying of the planet. Trev and Brian in 2015 paid the New South Wales government a whopping $1 million for the Vales Point coal-fired power station. Talk about a rip-off, $1 million, half the cost of your average house in Sydney today. The government laughing all the way to the extent of the rip-off revealed 2 years later when the plant was valued at a mere $722 million, an insignificant $721 million capital gain. Poor Trev, poor Brian. And the massive million the government ripped off the two innocents had pocketed was probably used for important public benefits like corporate welfare subsidies to the coal and fossil industries. And now poor Trev and poor Brian are flogging Vale Point to a check company for, quote, several $100 million, all of which shows the huge social benefits of privatization. Another great filthiest rich, the US of global battery entrepreneur Kent Masters, real name, advised us it would be hard for True Blue Aussie to make the leap from mining key ingredients to making batteries for electrical vehicles. You'll be far better off, he showed how much he cares for us, by supplying us with the lithium and other ingredients and then buying the batteries off us. See? Caring only for others. Like all great corporations, as there was some fleeting celebration this week as Origin Fossil Polluter announced it was abandoning its Beetaloo Basin fracking proposal, which has been subject to a little bit of opposition from anti-True Blue Aussie environmentalists and Indigenous people, one of whom, Johnny Wilson of the Nerdalinji Native Title Aboriginal Corporation, declaring, and how's this for opposing progress, declaring, fracking is not what we want. The government should give up backing the industry with taxpayers' money and invest in health, education and clean energy from the sun, because that's what will keep our future strong. Hasn't he listened to the gas industry telling us it is part of clean energy and intends to be part of clean energy for decades? What commendable concern. Why, there's an ad that refers to renewable gas, and as far as government corporate welfare, well, Beetaloo Basin is part of the government's gas-led recovery, and a struggling energy behemoth like Origin Fossil Energy needed every dollar of the millions it received from the public purse from former big Supremo Scuttlebem or Lashson, a.k.a. ScoMo's gas-led recovery, to explore the basin. We presume it will pay all that back as it flogs the lease, and that's where the fleeting celebrations bit comes in. Origin Fossil has simply flogged it to another caring corporate, Tamboran Resources, which says it has all the support it needs to proceed with fracking the environment, including, it says, support from Indigenous groups. Can't we get things wrong? We could have sworn Johnny Wilson's comments were opposed to the fracking, but no. Oh, Tamboran did say it has good relationships with the Northern Territory Socialist Government, which supports the fracking. So, for those anti-progress, anti-True Blue Aussie protesters, the celebrations are fleeting. The fight goes on. Wonder who'll extract them all from government coffers now, the local Indigenous people or the non-local corporate invader? No need to answer that. Speaking of, what luck for the, copper and ex-train killer up in the Northern Territory acquitted of murdering a young black man whose inquest is currently being conducted. What luck, but he just happened in the Northern Territory to get an all-white jury, and that his texts were not admitted at trial. Texts the coroner ruled against his counsel's opposition that they could be made public, with the most vile, racist comments imaginable and how he loves bashing and hurting people. They may have made a bit of a difference in the murder trial, even with an all-white jury. Well, it's not like there are a lot of Indigenous people in the Northern Territory. Indeed, despite that, the inquest evidence suggests the acquitted copper's views are endemic in the force. Well, they have such constant contact with them, arresting, locking up, bashing, killing, protecting the community. And as Western Troubler Aussie continues to lock up young Aboriginal people long after their sentences for minor crimes have been served, because they're deemed to be a threat, jailed for offences arising from poverty, the AFL is celebrating Grand Final week by revealing yet another report showing the caring treatment Indigenous players receive. And no problems here, no need to worry, because the league keeps telling us it is inclusive and cares for its Indigenous players. I'm sure we'd agree, among the most exciting players in the game, and it will go on telling us how much it cares, and as report after report and incident after incident recur, it will go on telling us, and I'm sure if we asked our regular football commentator and our expert commentator Michelle to give us her in-depth opinion of all this, she would inform us, very interesting, Kevin. Making it difficult to comprehend why on a day of national mourning for a nonagenarian in Her Most Gracious Majesty's home country, or his most gracious these days, these beneficiaries of colonialism would take to the streets condemning the invaders. What about thank you for bringing us civilization, for contributing so caringly to our environment and ecology, our country, our Mother Earth? Finally, one of the great contributors to caring for the planet, A.G. Hell to the Planet, Troubler Aussie's biggest polluter of the big polluters, has again shown its selflessness by telling the government other big polluters must bear more of the burden of not polluting, else it would place an unfair burden on the big energy supply polluters like A.G. Hell to the Planet. See? Selfless. Yet those Indigenous ingrates still complain. Good morning.